are.
No. Admiral Jonathan K. Meowkins, no. But if you ever want to use Calico Clip, different.
TM. I got you.
I will send the paperwork over afterwards.
Okay. Sounds good.
So Admiral Meowkins is chasing this barge. The barge is being piloted by Captain Catherine Nip.
Oh, yeah.
So Captain Catnip is being chased by Admiral Meowkins.
Oh, he's chasing that catnip.
Yep.
All right, and that is the that's the captain there. And then, so his father is not really a captain, then. His father is something else.
He is.
He's a captain of the security.
Is Admiral the highest you can go, or is there something above Admiral?
Super Admiral.
Yeah, in this world, it's Super Admiral. That's really all the thing you can, unless you want to be Superior Admiral.
I think Super Admiral works. All right, so the father is actually Super Admiral Meowkins, because he has to overrank everybody on the ship.
And he could steer the ship, but he's so high up in this military that it's kind of beneath him. So he leaves it to Catherine Nip.
Mm-hmm. And he's only called in when there's a real big problem, such as pirates attacking the ship.
Yeah, they thought they go
to his. Like, you won't even see him for most of the first act. You finally meet, you'll see him in the flashback or something, but you'll finally see him when they finally have to, they'll reference him, but as soon as, the pirates attack, somebody will be like, we have to go get the Super Admiral, and they go and they knock on his door, and it opens up. And he's just chilling out in his thing.
So, I just vomited. I was trying to take a drink of Diet Coke. I need to go get
that's what I think of your idea.
No, a Super Admiral Diet Coke. It's not coming out my nose. I'll be back in a second.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we're going to mark off here that at the 40-minute mark, send to the Blunder Dogs podcast.
I just vomited.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. This is going along smoothly.
Yeah. I'm going to ask, how do you think it's going?
We'll probably never do this again. This is absolutely ridiculousness. No, yeah. No. I think we're doing good. We've got our four main characters.
Yes,
Meowkins and Calico Calypso and Super Admiral Meowkins.
I'm back. Sorry.
Who's in charge of Stevia? Welcome back to the show. Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
And can the ship be called the Ahoy, hoy?
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because we're gonna keep this very well connected to the show. All right, so Admiral Meowkins is in charge of the SS Ahoy Hoy.
Ahoy Hoy.
There we go.
So does that mean the title of the movie is the SS Ahoy Hoy?
No, we can come up with something else for a title. I think that's a good name for the ship somehow. That even right. works. It didn't have to be the name of the ship. I just thought maybe that could work.
Yeah. For sure.
And I just needed some reason for you not to pick litter box.
Damn it. I'll work it in here somehow.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm sure there's got to be at least one, kind of gag thing where somebody steps in a litter box on accident, right?
Yeah, probably.
And still doesn't get that there's a cat person on board.
Yeah.
Also, would a cat person still use a litter box?
I don't know. It's our world.
I mean, when you're a pirate, you do whatever you want.
Pretty much.
This is true. Okay, so all right. So we have a pirate heist movie. It's at sea. There is there's a barge that's being driven by Captain Katniss Nip. And being overseen by a superior Admiral J.K. Meowkins, head of Stevia Security. And they're trying to take the largest ball of twine across the ocean, where pirates led by Admiral Jonathan K. Meowkins and his first mate Calico Calypso, they are moving along in their hybrid of a, old-timey pirate ship with new-timey engine type thing, the SS Ahoy Hoy. And they are looking to steal that ball of twine. All right.
So I would like to introduce a Chekhov's gun, if I may.
Okay.
Okay, so the nuclear reactor that powers the ship emits all kinds of light, right? Like it's like shoots like beams of light around as it's like generating, and it, the captain, well, Admiral Mjalkins stays away from the engine room because he's easily distracted by the lights.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he stays away from that area if he can. Right. There's my Chekhov's gun. Maybe there's a situation where Mjalkins has his crew as they're planning the heist, and he's like stabbing a knife into a map and like drawing some stuff, and like he pulls out like a pocket watch, or somebody else pulls out a pocket watch to look at it, and it like shoots a beam of light onto the table, and then Admiral Mjalkins sits there and bats at it for way too long. Way too long. And everybody's like, what's wrong? And then he's fighting through it. Like, he can't stop. He's like, put the watch away, you know? And then finally, somebody puts the watch away and he goes back to normal. So there's my Chekhov's gun.
Can I add to that with, what if that's in this engine room is where the final fight between
two cats? That's my Chekhov's gun. And then his dad has to save him. Yeah. But I just wanted to set that up for future. I think that's
early on that we see that kind of scene, so that we know that there's something a little off with this captain. Not everybody else has picked it up yet, but we've noticed that there's something a little off because he's very distracted by shiny little lights and stuff like that.
Oh, the engine room? Oh, the captain doesn't go down there. It's beneath him.
Admiral Mjalkins doesn't go down there. So now, let's say Admiral Mjalkins has fond memories of his father, but he also kind of resents his father for being reaching the rank of super admiral, and just that idea makes me laugh. Super admiral. So he resents him a little bit because he made super admiral, and Admiral Mjalkins has not been able to rise to the rank of super admiral of the pirates.
Is Admiral is he legitimately an admiral, or is he just claimed admiral?
No, it's
probably self-styled. But
the first mate keeps bringing up the fact that it's self-appointed, and you could call yourself Super Admiral. But Admiral Mjalkins believes that there is a rite of passage to get to Super Admiral.
And that rite of passage is stealing this largest ball of twine from the ship his father is in charge of security of. I'm the Super Admiral now.
Yeah, but he never steals the ball.
Takes his hat.
because the rite of passage all along was inside of him. He just needed to save his dad or whatever.
And what's that inside of him? Oh, it's a big hair old ball, hairball.
Yes, that's the rite of passage. Was coughing up an enormous hairball. It was in me all along. All right, well, stealing the ball of the twine is the rite of passage.
At this point, this movie is about a cat. I didn't know.
It is a heist movie.
It is. I want to fit hairball into the title somehow now. But we can still get back to, or that could work with a tagline of some sort for this. All right, so in the beginning, in the first act, we're going to get a bit of a flashback to showing the young Admiral Mjalkins and his father, who we never fully see, and his mother, and you kind of get this idea that he doesn't exactly look like a cat then either, because he's not dressed like a pirate, but he somehow we get around that again, because people just don't seem to catch that part. And and then we'll also have a scene where he's trying to explain how they're gonna go about the heist and how they're gonna catch the barge, etc. And somebody just happens to be messing with a watch. It catches the sun, and he's thoroughly distracted until, you know, he's trying to keep it under control, and he's about to just pounce over the table. And that's when we first meet Calico Calypso, because she walks over and she puts a hand on top of the watch. It's like, put that away.
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. There we go. Excellent. So that's how we've introduced her. Moving into, into Act Two, is that when we're gonna? That's when we're gonna finally meet the Super Admiral for the first time, officially, like seeing him completely.
Yeah.
Have we established that Admiral Mjalkins is the hero of the movie?
Well, he's a pirate, so I guess he's. Yeah,
he's a lovable pirate.
He's kind of like an anti-hero, like
you really feel for him. Like, maybe in the establishing shots with the origin story of this cat, like, I don't know. It's just you do get enough, like, oh, I really feel for this cat, can relate to, like, maybe just growing up and not feeling like his dad was there for him. And maybe his mom died. So you just like, ah, oh, you're really rooting for this cat.
He's
now.
A hardened cat that yeah. softens over the course of the movie.
His father left after a boating accident, which has left our young Admiral Meowkins with either a peg leg or a hook hand.
What about a hook tail or a peg tail?
Why?
So, but now, what if the boating accident separated the two and Admiral Meowkins assumed his father was dead?
Or the other way around. No, the other way around.
Okay.
The other way around. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. So
then the.
So,
oh, yeah.
Admiral
like
Meowkins
that.
Feels that he was abandoned by Super Admiral Meowkins so long ago.
That's how he was raised to
yes,
be that.
That's what, he turned to a life of pirate. He grew up in the hard streets of I don't, oh, he grew up in like the dingy part of some city called that was lovably called the Litter Box.
Derek, you
he grew
did
up
it.
In the streets of the Litter Box as a literal cat in, person. Nobody else
nope,
was a
nobody
cat
else
person,
is a cat person
him.
In this place. So in the area that he was mm-hmm. referenced as the Litter Box.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Cat puns.
Yeah,
they're named after cats. I don't think we need to shy away from it at all.
All right, good, good, good. And yeah, and so his dad thinks he's been dead this whole time. Doesn't know that he's become this. Is this his first time being out as a pirate? No, he's managed to stock himself with a lot of piratey background. Just his dad is never. Does he have a separate nickname?
The hairball of the sea. No.
So like nobody ever refers to him as. I mean, his crew refers Captain, to him as Admiral Meowkins. Calyclypso refers to him as Jonathan, but the most of the world knows him as something
yes.
far worse, and thus his dad would never know that this is him.
Captain Rough Tongue.
Hooktail.
I thought it was...
Oh, because that's
is it a hook, I like, is it a hook I like or a peg? Hooktail. I like the peg tail.
Because he can use it for stuff.
No. Okay, hooktail.
Because I think there's going to be some part where like he almost falls overboard, but the tail catches and he's held on.
Oh, sure.
You know what? I'll be a wild card and say an eye patch on his tail. Why not? Let's just throw that in there. No, but... hook on the tail, I think, is I like that.
Is the whole tail a hook, or just at the end of his tail's a hook?
Yeah, I think just the end.
I think at okay. the end. And it's like, it doesn't be there, but he put it on there because he lost a tiny bit of at the very tip, and he considered
yeah.
like that was a huge loss, so he put the
all
hook
right.
there.
And yeah, so worldwide, he's known as Captain Hooktail, but he's really...
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan K. Meowkins, who has self-appointed himself as an admiral. And in order to become super admiral, he needs to take down... he knows his dad is still alive. His dad doesn't know he's still alive. The only way he thinks he can really become a super admiral is to steal this largest ball of twine right out from under his father's nose.
Makes sense all to right. me.
So, mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to have boating scenes. We're going to have some scenes where... Do they try to do something very... like? So, Derek, you said they're not actually going to steal the ball of twine overall. It's more the lesson or something that he's trying to learn or in order to become super admiral of beating his father. So they're not actually going to steal the thing off there. But are they going to try and actually just take the barge for a while, or is it a distraction to get his father to maybe come over to the Ahoy Hoy for our final battle scene?
I think the intent is to steal okay. that ball of twine, and maybe they actually do it for a little bit, and in like the process of stealing that, him and his father lock eyes, and his dad realizes who that is.
At first, they don't recognize
each
other.
Well,
but... And maybe there's some tell.
He doesn't notice it by the tail with a hook on it. He knows that. That doesn't catch his attention. But at some point in time, as they're hustling around, the bandana slips off the face of Admiral Meowkins, and his father sees him, and they lock eyes. And it's this point that everybody around suddenly realizes also that we have two cat people here.
The father's just like, I know those whiskers anywhere.
So the Admiral is as he's leaving the barge with the ball of twine, the world's largest ball of twine, his dad sees him and says, like, calls him by some childhood nickname, and that, like in, like, an inquisitive way, like, he doesn't know who he is, and then he catches him. He's like, Johnny Cakes? I don't know if that's his nickname or not, but, some, like, endearing nickname that maybe you saw from a flashback.
I like Johnny Cakes.
And then they lock eyes, and then he runs off. And then so his dad has to try to get the twine back, and then Admiral Meowkins has a change of heart, maybe? I don't know.
In their big fight scene, because his dad is in pursuit, follows him back to the Ahoy Hoy. The ball of twine is rolling back and forth on the deck of the ship, and they're busy battling, and the lights from the nuclear power thing, they start to put out the crazy little rays. His dad gets distracted by it, almost falls over, or starts to fall overboard, and that's when Johnny Cakes swings his hook tail over, and his dad catches it at the last minute. And he pulls them back back on board. And his heart, which has been hardened over all these years, melts a little bit and eases up. And his dad and him, they have this bit of a moment. And at the same time, you get the rest of the security team is starting to try and make their way over to the Ahoy Hoy. And his dad, he doesn't call him off. He fakes a last little swing attempt to try and hit him, and instead dives over the end. So he safely gets into the water, not falling in crazily, and it allows the Ahoy Hoy to then jettison away safely.
Because now at this point, the Admiral has been like, I don't need the ball of twine. I don't need to be Super Admiral. I've always been Super Admiral, or something like that.
There'll be some kind of speech where he's like, you know, I'm just as super as you, blah, blah, blah. And his dad can say something like, Johnny Cakes, you've always been my super admiral. Everyone gets teary-eyed, and there's tears all around for everyone watching this movie when he just gives that nice little heartfelt speech. And then he dives over so that his men stop to try and rescue him, and they take off. And you get a bit of a fade to black, and then it fades back in, where we're going to have some kind of like final, piecing together, you
epilogue
know,
the, kind of thing.
Yeah, an epilogue type thing.
So I want to propose a few things. First, I want to propose a scene, a la the movie Heat, where Super Admiral and Admiral get together to talk. In a very tense conversation, like maybe Admiral Meowkins sends for Super Admiral Meowkins, and they come over and they have a sit down, and that's where some heart to hearts found out. He's like, "I didn't know you were dead. Or, I didn't know you were alive. I thought you were dead." Blah blah blah. And then we find out that Admiral Meowkins has been obsessed with his father. He's got all these newspaper clippings hanging in his room or whatever. I don't know, right? So then they part ways, and that's when Admiral Meowkins starts getting a little bit soft on the idea. Then when. But then his dad's like, I love you, son, but I'm going to have to take you down. He's like, get him out of here. And then gets out of here. Right. Then when they come at the end, in the final scene, when the reactor is shooting the lights out because the door got kicked open or something like that. And then they're saving one another. There's a moment of weakness. And then we could plot this out where First Mate Callie Calypso tries to do the mutiny like you'd mentioned before, Keith, with the mutiny. And then he or she ends up killing the dad. Right? Wow. So then the dad falls. And then the big battle is between Admiral Meowkins and First Mate Calico Calypso.
Now, do we know for sure that the father is killed?
We don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What if it, yeah, like got shot and the cat fell
falls
overboard?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Calico is the one who opens the door to the reactor room. Yeah. It shines out some light. The father dives after the light and he goes overboard. We don't actually see what happens. So.
Saves the son.
Well, no, that's when the hook tail comes in. The hook tail comes and saves him. And there's a moment of like, oh, I've been wasting my life.
Son,
blah, blah, blah. And there's a moment of weakness there. And that's when.
This is where he goes from being kind of like the bad guy. He now switches around, like we said before.
Yes, it's the heel to face turn.
They save each other, have a heart-to-heart, like, on the side of a ship or something, and then they get back up, and then there's a gunshot. J.K. Meowkins falls overboard, and then triggers the final battle between Admiral Meowkins and Calico Calypso.
Okay, yeah, so J.K. Senior, Super Admiral.
J.K. Senior fellow. Sorry, yeah, there are so many Meowkins. Super Admiral falls overboard. Yes. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and you can assume that he's dead because he's been shot and falls over, and
you see blood.
You'll get Admiral Meowkins will look over like frantically looking for him, doesn't see him anywhere,
and then there's some tertiary character who's just like, nah, he's gone.
Yeah, and then it'll be another crew member who's kind of like at one of the lower levels looking out the window is like. He's gone.
It's the chef.
Don't see it.
No. Yeah. Looks overboard. And there's another head that pops out through a window below him, looks up and just shakes its head sadly.
Can he do like a scream, like a longing scream, like Super Admiral?
Yes.
Daddy. Yes, absolutely.
And then he turns
Super Deborah.
He has a final showdown then with Calico Calypso, who has been leaning towards his love interest for the most part, but it turns out she's just cozying up to him to really steal this book.
What a twist.
She really wants the ball of twine. And he was just doing it to get back at his father, where she's doing it because she actually wants to take it and sell it on the black market where it'll be worth a lot of money.
What if the giant world's largest ball of twine actually houses something at its core that nobody knows about?
There's a big diamond.
Like Calico Calypso knew about this, and so did Super Admiral, and that's why he was predicting it. So,
if the water's a little choppy through all of this, that ball is kind of rolling back and forth, and the end part of this whole battle is when he pushes her off of him, and he rolls out of the way. As the ball of twine rolls through and basically crushes her.
And crushes her, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so they're fighting on the deck of a pirate ship.
I love it.
An old-time pirate ship that's fueled, powered by a nuclear reactor of some sci-fi technology. There's the world's largest ball of twine rolling all over the place. It's huge, and it's crushing people in its path. It's like breaking things. It knocks over the mast just to show its mass. And
it's kind of breaking the ship a little bit,
breaking
too.
The ship apart, and then it eventually... what gets said right before she gets crushed? Like,
does she know she's about to die?
No, she thinks she has the upper hand.
Yes. And then
she says something and he has to have a witty comeback.
Yes. And he, like, as he scurries out of the way, like, really quick, like cats do. And then she gets crushed. Mm-hmm. And he's got to say something like something
catty.
About getting crushed.
I was going to say maybe when he leaps out of the way, like she says something like, hi, I've got you now. He's like on his back or something like, I've got you now. I defeated you. You're on your back now and like springs out of the way. And he says, you know what they say about cats? They always land on four feet.
Or he makes reference that she says something like, I've got you now. He manages to get away from her right before the thing hits. And he goes, I bet you wish you had 9 lives.
So something just like that. Now, let's say the whole time, the conversation between the two of them is how Admiral Meowkins, through his history, is down to 4 lives or something like that, right? And then she says something like, blah, blah, blah. And he jumps out of the way. He's like, Now I'm down to three, and she gets crushed or something like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Will we have little flashbacks throughout the entire movie showing where he's kind of... Obviously, the first life he lost is when the boating accident with his father, where his father thinks he's dead anyway. And
that could be like his coming up, like as he's hard. He's like, I'm a cat, I only got eight lives left, and that's his story. That's how he tells his background, his backstory.
Exactly, yeah. And I think there's got to be like some like a little monologue type thing of maybe starting off the whole film where he's like, you know, they say most cats have nine lives, but let me tell you how I only have eight or something along those lines. But yeah, but that's how he ends up killing her. He kills her at the end by saying that, gives the witty line about, don't you wish you had seven lives at this point or whatever he would have left.
Like that's seven.
Yeah.
And so then it crushes her and they both fall off the edge of the boat. Right. And thus he loses.
No. It all stays on the boat still.
Well, I thought a key thing was that he wouldn't end up with the ball.
No, I think he still does at this point in time. It just, after she gets killed and he says his little line, you kind of get like the camera will start to pan out and we'll see the boat take off. Slowly, towards
the
horizon.
By the ball.
But it still gets away. Now that he's gotten back, the fight
creaks
stops.
Away.
It hasn't been completely destroyed. it coasts off into the horizon as we fade to black. Then we come back for our little epilogue moment.
Now, Keith, I feel like I know what you want to do in the epilogue. Maybe I have an idea for the epilogue.
What do you think I want to do?
I think you want to bring the father back.
That is one way to go about doing it, yes.
Is what I was thinking, at least.
The other way to go about doing it is you don't bring the father back now. You bring him back as a cyborg cat person in our sequel.
Oh,
but that's,
of course.
Depending where,
he breaks Admiral Meowkins out of jail.
Maybe. I was thinking an endearing moment, like, I wish I had more time with him, and then the door opens. You do, yes, and then that's it. But no, cyborg.
No. I think I like the idea. I was going with the idea, the very cliched idea. So at the end, yes. You know, they'd be kind of like on a beach, and you'd see the ahoy hoy, beaten, broken, and battered with the twine sitting there. It's anchored off the shore. And he comes up on shore and he's just sits down. Maybe he's got himself a jug of milk or something like that. And he's kicking back a little bit and he's thinking about his father. And that's when he realizes that, you know, his father is washed up a little bit down the coast or something like that. He sees, you know, a body laying down the coast when he gets over there. It's his father who has survived, barely survived the gunshot, but there's a reunion. Or maybe he doesn't survive the gunshot completely. He's alive, but he's going to die in his son's arms.
Oh.
And then
I'm Meowkins, not sure what I want more.
And then Jonathan K. Meowkins now calls himself Super Admiral. He buries his father there on that island, heads back, gets on the boat, and it takes off again. But that somebody else knows that his father's there, and that's how we're going to get to the cyborg father in the sequel.
Catnip comes.
She
gets him out of the ground because she loves him.
Exactly. And also she knows that, you know, he's a great mind as far as security and military. And, you know, they just have to eliminate some of the his humanistic flaws. Because it's the human side of him that made him want his son back in his life.
And
he cares too much. He needs to be indifferent like a cat.
They're digging up this cat. They're digging up this cat and they're like, why? Why do we need him? And Catnip's just like, we'll need him for the war's coming. And that's how we leave it.
That's the post credit. So we have the epilogue.
Yes.
Boom. Then we're done with the credits. Post credit is the barge.
Totally not related to the movie. At all.
Something ominous. There's a war.
Can
the ball of twine? This is just a aesthetics thing. Can the ball of twine come to rest on the figurehead, and then any sequels that come out from there? It's this ball of twine is now the figurehead of the ship. You know what I mean by figurehead? It's
so the statue. The world's largest ball of twine is a statue on the front of a ship.
Yes. Well, but the ball of twine.